Accession number 31693, reel 25.
Mr. Rosson, reel 25. You've moved to Durham as a recruiting. What was
well,
that?
Well, the colonel at that time, Colonel Lane, just said to me, he says, how do you fancy a post? And I think you've had a fair old... you've done your bit. Would you like to do? Would you like to go on to recruiting? And I said, well, depends where. He says, I would like to go to Durham City. And I looked at him and said, how much time do you need? He said, well, he said, take as much time as you. I says, right. I says, I'll take it. And then I went on to. I went to Darlington to see the major there, Major Plumtree, who was the recruiting officer, and had an interview with him, and also I think this was around about April 1973. So I got promoted in 72. I got there, went with him, saw the colonel or brigadier in charge of recruiting for the northeast, and then I went on a course down in Woolwich in London, and that was a completely different one than any course that I'd done in the army. And I did this course and passed it, obviously, and went straight on, went back to battalion for a short while, handed over to someone else, and then came up with the family and started recruiting in Durham, and had a year there in Durham, took over from an ex-DLI man, Dave Hewitson, and then moved the family up to Crook. That was in this was in 73, which again was a fortunate time for me because I'm a Sunderland supporter, and of course in 73 I just moved over in 73, so I actually was here in Sunderland for the cup final, which was a cracking for me, being a Sunderland supporter. I thought, well, I can't get much better than this. 66, I got back from Borneo and watched the World Cup final, England win, and then 73 back in the UK. So yes, I had a good 12 month.
Were you recruiting for the whole army?
Yes, I wasn't a regimental recruit. I was recruiting for all units.
You know, at that time, what was the background? I mean, on average, what was the background of the type of young man that was coming into the?
They were varied. We used to turn down about 3 out of every 5. It was a fairly strict. Any criminal record, you never go in. Relaxed later on, but it was a varied background. And we used to do home visits. We used to go up into, you know, would get a request. The family would want to see us. So the knowledge of every regiment and what every unit did, you had to know. And this is one of the reasons why you did this course down at Woolwich.
I suppose it was to
it was a test of your knowledge.
Yeah, of what particular units and corps required that were looking for.
That's right, but not only that, but what jobs was available in every regiment and every corps. And you were tested fairly extensively on the course. And of course, an advantage I had was that I'd done regimental signals instructor. So you know, when you speaking in front of people, and this was one of the things that you did when you were in the at the school of what they call it, the School of Recruiting. The first time I'd ever appeared on standing on the stage and actually having cameras pointing at you and having to make or doing a talk or a speech, they would give you the subject. You have to stand up on the stage and the cameras and actually do this. It's so fortunate, as I say, all NCOs should be able to do it anyway because they've got to be able to teach. So I did that, and I had 12 months in charge. Not in charge, but in 12 months with a sergeant major in charge, a guy called Matty Brough, who was my sergeant major in charge of the office at Durham, and two other sergeants, one from the Royal Engineers, one from the Scots Guards. So we used to have, of course, a little bit of rivalry between us, which was good, but the 12 month I had in Durham was excellent.
And you would presumably you interview people, young lads.
Yes, you do interviews. You would write reports on them.
I think you said that you could be. The family asked to see you. You would
go. If a family, I'd go out to a family and sit down with the family, and obviously, some families would say, "But what about, you know, if they got involved in fighting?" And you had to tell the truth. And of course, having the experience of Borneo and having the experience of Northern Ireland, and obviously a lot of the families were concerned were their kids going to Northern Ireland, because Northern Ireland was still in full swing then, as it was for 20 years, and you had to be say to them, yes, depending on what job. If he was a guy who wanted to become a cook in the Army Cavalry Corps, there was a chance that he'd be on the streets of Northern Ireland, because every man is a soldier first. Doesn't matter what job they did, he was a soldier first, followed by whatever trade he was doing after that. And as it turned out, we had people from the Royal Corps Transport killed, manning a barrier. We had people in the Cavalry Corps killed. They were blown up, you know. So yes, there were jobs that there was no job that wasn't safe. Not going on the streets of Northern Ireland, everybody went in, and you had to be blunt, and you had to tell them that you had to be truthful. Because if you told lies, you'd be found out.
Yes, since you moved on from First World War days of how grubby you
were. Oh yes, very much so.
You were able now to choose.
Very much so. And of course, I had that, as I say, I did that for 12 months. And then I was given the office at Bishop Auckland, where there was only two of us. And I was given the responsibility of running the office there, and with another sergeant. And given that little bit extra responsibility, running the office myself in Bishop Auckland with another sergeant, I thought, well, at least they trusted me. And then, lo and behold, a sergeant came in. And I knew him when I was a Lance Corporal, and he was a Lance Corporal in Warminster in 1966. So even though...
What was his name, by the way? What was his name?
Cooper. Yeah. He was 15th, 19th Hussars. So the army's a vast... There's a lot of men, but you'll always keep coming across one or two. And Dennis, as I say, I knew 1966. And later on, when my son joined 15th, 19th Hussars, Dennis was my son's sergeant major in the mortar transport in the 15th-19th Hussars. So it's small world.
So you get a recruit coming in and you talk, find out about him, obviously.
The first thing you'd do, I'd get his name, we'd sit down and chat, and then I'd get a little bit of his background, and if he was under the age of 18, I couldn't test him. I had to have permission from his family to actually give him the recruiting test. Once that was, and I would give him the forms to go away and speak to his family. See,
what was the recruitment test intended to pluck out? To show?
It would test three things: English, where they could write. Then there would be maths. Again, checking if he could add up and subtract, and a few fractions would basic stuff which you should learn at, should have learned at school. And then the last part was the intelligence test, and this would again be able to tell whether he was he could do more advanced stuff. And you'd have to pass all three subjects, the English, the maths and the intelligence test. And once they'd done that, that would give me an idea, because in the recruiting instructions or regulations, depending on what his actual test figures were, I could then go into a recruiting manual and see what he would actually pass for. And the lowest, would you believe, would be for the Pioneer Corps. Then the next would be the Rifleman, and then you'd work up. Not everybody was capable of doing it, all the jobs. Excuse me. And then right at the end, the higher jobs, of course, then depended on his test results, but that wouldn't be where that would give us an idea.
Did they come with an idea where they wanted to be? Did they come and say, like,
oh yeah, some guy would say, I want to do so and so, and after the test I would say, I'm sorry son, but you haven't qualified. What I could do is tell you to come back in 6 weeks and do the test again. Very few did.
Were you able to say to a chappie who'd come and say, right, I want to join such and such a regiment at Corps, after the test, well, this is not for you, but...
Yes. There's I'd try and guide him to somewhere which would suit his abilities. But however, I mean, if they insist, I say, all right, fair enough. But in those days, they used to go... There was two places, Sutton Coalfield and Harrogate. Sutton Coalfield, they would go down and spend 5 days and do another load of tests. And also, so you couldn't tell any lies, because they would be found out when they went to Sutton Coalfield and spent 4 or 5 days there and do some more tests. And because what they're trying to do is fit square pegs into square holes. The old days, when I first went in, that wasn't there. And when I went in, it was a DLI man. I went in the DLI, but it had gone on from there. And at Harrogate, there would be the people under the age of 18. They would go, well, we're talking about now 16, 17, and they'll go down there for tests, and we would always try and get them to go into offer them an apprenticeship. Like my lad, he went in the 15th-19th Hussars as a junior leader. My other son, who went into the Royal Signals, he went in and he got an apprenticeship for the Royal Signals as the satellite communications. But always But it you'd have to try and fit people into jobs which would suit. Otherwise, it's no good going in and he suddenly either doesn't like it or he can't cope.
Was there a period, or is there a period, where they can go in after you've recommended and they've decided to go, and they can make, they have that period before they finally make their mind up that this is for them?
Yes.
Once you signed
the papers, that was it. Yeah, that was your contract. Yes, they would come back. They would have some grace where they would actually say, "No, this is not for me." So again, if you didn't do your job properly, it was wasting money.
There'd be a lot coming back if you hadn't told them.
If you hadn't told them the truth. So yes, it was quite good in that on that way, and I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed the two years. And this was when, unfortunately, I went back to the, after my 2 years doing recruiting, I went back to my regiment, and I was only there a short while when my marriage broke up, and I was given a compassionate posting to the TA at Bishop Auckland until I decided what I was going to do, when I was going to, I didn't know whether my marriage was going to get back together again or whether. But anyway, it didn't happen, and I took voluntary redundancy from the army after 18 months, and came out of the army. But I was fortunate in that 18 months, I met someone else, I got my divorce, and we're still married today, which is 30 years. So yes, it's I enjoyed my 17 years. I would have preferred to have stayed longer, and I would have preferred. Know what I know now, I think I could have got higher. In fact, I know I could have got higher.
Did you qualify for a pension of any kind with 17 years? I
did, yes. Because I took voluntary redundancy, I got 17 20 seconds of my gratuity from my my money, which was a lump sum. And I got 17, 20 seconds of my pension. At that time was £66 a month. And then when I reached the age of 55, I jumped from that to about £250.
A full term of army service, what, 22 years?
Yes. Yeah.
And then you got a percentage of that 22. If you didn't complete,
so I did, 22, didn't complete me 22.
What
I did 70, 20 seconds.
You know, what would you say were the highlights of your army life?
Oh my word! So many.
I think in terms of the comradeship and friendship.
Oh dear. I mean, I'm still in touch with people who were friends with me 40 years ago, and we still meet up quite regularly. But highlights, so many highlights. I mean, I represented the battalion in football, shooting at Bisley, boxing, getting to the... obviously I didn't want to get busted, and making my way back up to sergeant, and just proving people wrong that it can be done, provided you put the work in, and learn and earn and trust. But I mean when both my sons joined, I didn't, bad times. Yes, there were bad times, but you can't remember them. You always remember the good times.